This conference will now be recorded.
Good evening. This is David Klein at Lloyd Gosling. We are general counsel to Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation. We are getting ready to begin our July board of directors meeting. And just to get this on the record, we want to make sure that it is clear that this meeting has been properly noticed to be held by teleconference in light of the governor's disaster proclamation as it's been extended over the past few months. This is being held over toll-free. Two-way call, and we are recording the meeting and we'll make it available to the general public afterwards. And with that, we're ready for President Martin to start the meeting.
Okay, thank you, David. I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's about 5:32, it looks like, and we need to establish a quorum, and I'll just call everybody's name. We got Fred.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Steve Ramsey.
Here.
Ronnie Glennewinkel.
Yes, sir.
Debbie Magin.
I'm here.
All right, Bernie Miller.
Here.
And, of course, Bubba Martin. And we have Willie and Kathy of Marist joining us on our meeting. Okay, do we have any owner members signed on to address the board? We do speak up. If not, we will go on to item number 3, discuss, consider, and take action regarding the minutes of the June 23rd meeting of the Board of Directors.
Bubba, is there anybody else on the call at CRWA engineers, anybody like that?
This is Humberto Ramos. I'm on the call.
No engineers. Okay. Okay, I guess that's all that we have is the ones listed, and Humberto as well from Canyon Regional. Okay, item number 3, minutes of the June 23rd meeting.
This is Ronnie. I had one point of verification or clarification. And it's caused my misunderstanding. And it was Omar Maldonado, because all I heard was the Mar at the last meeting, and I thought it was Hilmar, but it was Omar.
Yes, it was definitely Omar.
Okay.
And he's as both of them are, with the groundwater district.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to make certain. No one else has any comments. I make a motion to approve the June minutes.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes from June 23rd meeting from Ronnie Glennewinkel?
This is Bernie, I'll second.
Second from Bernie Miller. Any more questions or comments? If not, we'll vote for approval. All say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? We have none. We pass unanimously. Item number 4, discuss, consider, take action regarding the balance sheet and income statement for June 2020.
This is Bernie. I've got a couple of questions on the balance sheet. I'm looking at page 10. At the top under current assets, electronic receivables. I don't remember what that is. Can y'all help clarify me?
That's the credit card payments.
Okay. I saw going further down under accounts receivable, we have recovery, repair receivables. But still a substantial number. I saw, David, if you had written, there are copies in our packet, I think, of two different letters that you wrote. Are both those still out? And both those, I want to say they were in May, those are written. I don't think I saw an updated. Did y'all write them another letter in June?
We have not. Yeah, this is David. We have not sent a follow-up letter. There was a second line break that we believe that was by Quest, and so we need to incorporate that into the second letter we're going to send them. And Willie and I were working on that last week.
Correct.
Okay. Down under fixed assets, the electric generator, that $54,000, that's the office, I assume?
Yes, sir.
Under accrued payroll, I think I asked something about this last month, but that just looks strange whenever your accrued payroll is double from what it was last year.
That's going to be from the three new employees.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's double from where it was last year. I mean, if we had doubled our number of employees, I could understand, but we haven't doubled our employees.
Man, we just added, we had three more employees. Did you find anything else out about why it's doubled? Yeah, because I see what you're saying. Add another 18 employees and it'd be doubled, but we didn't add 18 employees. Let me get that and I'll send you an answer tomorrow morning.
Okay. And then I guess this is just a function of, well, let me just tell you the account. City of Seguin payables, I think that's just a function of more people in the city limits that we're collecting for sewage.
Yes. And that'll keep growing as these developments grow and grow, and the city brings in or extends their ETJ into those subdivisions, the sewage is going to just keep going up and up and up.
You know, I assume that was the case, but just wanted to verify.
Yes, sir.
I'm moving to page 18. Water sales wholesale. As far as I know, we're selling water to, it's just a pass-through, but we're selling water to New Braunfels is the main one. Then we also have some to Crystal Clear. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And so most of that increase, I think, is attributable to New Braunfels?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the, a little bit further down, recovery repair expense. This goes back to, I think, what we had under the balance sheet. And so we're showing that as income. I assume that that's billed and we recognize on an accrual basis, the income, but we haven't collected that. Is that correct or incorrect?
Correct.
Okay. this is going down to insurance. This is account number 703001. Something doesn't look right there because it's, I'm wondering if we missed the bill or what happened because, we've only got we've got a negative $2,000 in expense there, whereas $55,000 last year.
Kathy's thinking on that one.
Insurance?
Yes, the health, the insurance 703001 showing a negative 2370. The previous year was 55,000. Page 18.
Oh, okay. I'm with you now. We had a refund come back in off of the workers' comp, and it's in there, and that's what has dropped it to the negative. And also, on the flip side of that, for the 2019 year, our new renewal came in and we paid to have the $55,000 in there. We did not pay it until July of this year. And so you're going to see that come in on next month.
And about how much was that?
It's about 60.
60,000?
Yeah.
Okay, well that answers that. Let me put it down that same page. System expense, other utilities, account 708055. What are other utilities? We didn't have any last year.
That's where we hit somebody. We hit cables or we hit AT&T or something like that.
Okay, so that's not actually a utility expense. That's the repair expenses.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thought we had some additional mailings this year, but our mailing expense is down $7,000. I'm looking at page 19, count 713502.
Is an income coming in from the admin for the mailing of the sewer there, and also the third-party billing is quite a bit than it was for us to mail it out ourselves.
So, Kathy, I was having a hard time understanding everything you said, but I think we're now getting some offset from the mailing expense from the City of Seguin. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that nets out another
contract. We put that in there as for them to pay us for an admin, and so they have been doing that. And so there's that as well as the third party is actually cheaper than it was for Samuel myself.
Yeah. So we renewed the contract last year with the city, and we weren't utilizing some of the income that they would provide for us to have these done by a third party. We had our girls holding these things for about 3 days, so we opted to use some of that funding that was there to be able to pay to have these mailed out. It was cheaper.
That's good. Those are my only comments on the balance sheet, the income statement.
This is Ronnie. I've got a general comment based on an observation here. page 18, starting with account 713016, onto the top of page 19, ending with account 713089. These all repairs to company-owned equipment or Springs Hill-owned equipment. And I didn't run numbers, but it appears that we're up a bit this year over last year. And again, that's just a general observation. And then I also say that because we're using so much contract labor and equipment.
We had a lot of repairs to some of the trailers that we had. We did replace two of the trailers, quite a few tires we replaced. I'll have to look at it and see.
Yeah, and again, Willie, I'm just looking at January, June, based on that 6 month period this year to this year.
Okay.
Appears to be up.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We'll take a look at that.
Before we move on, this is Maris. I just wanted to add really quickly that we had a question during the last board meeting about our payments to Seguin under the Emergency Interconnect Agreement. Even if we're not taking water, we owe them $1,000 a month. And even with... So NBU isn't directly paying Seguin, even though they're sort of you know, using that interconnect under our water swap agreement, but that $1,000 per month charge was factored into Willie's calculations to determine what we're charging NBU each month. So Spring Hill is still paying Seguin, but that charge is being reversed or being reimbursed by MBU through what we're charging them on a monthly basis.
Thank you, Meredith, for bringing that up.
No problem. But that's all I had.
Thank you, Meredith.
This is Fred. I just got one quick question that appears on several pages related to repairs to units 1411 and 1440, whatever those, I guess, are trucks. And it's both of them had turbo actuator repairs. What is the turbo actuator?
These are the 2500 Dodge diesel trucks, and these diesel trucks have the turbos, and these actuators went out on them, so they had to be replaced. They're basically the haul trucks that are pulling these gooseneck trailers.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
If there are no other comments, I'll make a motion to accept the balance sheet and income statement for June 2020.
Okay, this is Fred. We got a motion. Got a motion from Bernie, a second from Fred to approve the balance sheet income statement for June 2020. No other questions. I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 And passes unanimous. Did we have any no's? Okay. We will move to item number five. Discuss, consider, take action on the bills paid, the check register of June 2020.
Mr. President, I'd like to, before we get to that, something that falls between those two is the sheet on water sales.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little confused looking at page 25 and 26. The gallons on the two pages is off, and it's off by the amount of crystal clear take. And just curious why they aren't included on page 26.
Is that a question for Kathy?
I don't know who it's for.
It's not for Fred.
It's for our president.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just spewed a whole bunch of information out, and I had you on mute.
Okay.
I was wondering why y'all were talking while I was talking. Where the wholesale... Crystal Clear has just started taking water probably the past month or two. Those numbers were not calculated in here. We need to get with Francis to start putting those numbers in combined with the MB wholesale water.
Okay. Anyway, I figured there was something going on there. But all right, yeah, now.
Kathy and I actually spoke about this about an hour ago. That needed to be corrected.
So... was this a test, and did I pass?
We actually thought there weren't going to be that many questions, but you exceeded the amount. But you passed.
He's trying to get Fred into overtime.
All right, now the bills and the check register.
I'll make a motion to approve the check register.
This is Fred. Okay, we got a motion to approve the check register. And a second from Betty Magin.
Any questions or comments about the check register? Okay, call for a vote. All in favor of passing, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? We have none. Okay, we will move right along to item number 6. Discuss, consider, take action regarding Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation annual meeting.
This is David. I guess I can discuss this item. There's not a lot to discuss. Clearly everyone is aware of where we're at here with COVID and how it's impacting our ability to have in-person meetings. Nothing's changed, and so we're happy to put this on the agenda for next month, and we can see if things have changed. But one thing Maris and I took a look at between last meeting and this meeting is whether we had any alternatives. I think this came out of a question that I can't recall which director had this question last month, but was saying, hey, can we just get by with not having an annual meeting of the membership at all? And we do think that if we can get one in, we need to have one in 2020. But that one possible solution here is, you know, since it is an open meeting, subject to the public, the Open Meetings Act, that maybe if y'all want, we could either have it done by teleconference, just like we're doing this meeting, or even a hybrid, making video conferencing available to those who want to connect that way as well. And so we wanted to give you that option to consider tonight.
I think a hybrid might be a good thing for general membership, and as many people have had weird meetings like this, I think they're getting used to it, and that might be a good thing. It'd be hard to get them cookies and punch to drink, but might be good for meeting.
I think if you don't have if you just have a hybrid, or you have a meeting by teleconference, you're going to have a very small attendance because they're not going to have an opportunity to get a raffle item or some kind of item for being there. And so there are not going to be very many people attend. My feeling is if we're going to have a meeting, we ought to try to figure out a way to do it with masks or distancing or something, so you can at least have the drawings and let people have the opportunity to ask questions in person. They're going to be hard pressed to do that, many people over the phone. I think if a member had a serious question about a bill or something they thought we were doing wrong, or something they thought we were doing right, they would have already let us know. So I think attendance would be predominantly predicated on whether or not there'd be a drawing for something. And, I think we either do it in person with masks or distance, or we don't do it. Or we could do it by phone, but we need to be prepared the fact that there's only going to be two or three members and it'll be a 30-second call.
Yeah. Well, as poor of attendance as we typically have at the Silver Center, and as big as the Silver Center is, we could give everybody 15 feet if that's a legal meeting to have, you know.
Yeah, this is David. And, you know, my concern with having it in person inside a building is that the governor's most recent, the executive order number GA-28, indicated a strong, strongly discouraging meetings to be held in person with more than 10 people, even with the masks.
Well, if that's the case, David, I would, my thought personally, just for me, is that we wait another couple of months, get past the summer, and if it looks like things are not improving, and he doesn't relax that, the governor doesn't relax that, then we just go ahead with the phone meeting and see who attends. Just if we need to have one in 2020, which I don't argue with, then let's give it some more time and make that decision and as late as possible, with still allowing the staff time to get the notices out and prepare and all that kind of stuff.
I think that sounds good. We can do that.
I think I like that. So we will take no action on this, and we'll just, I guess, as Bernie Miller would say, kick the can down the road a little farther.
Yeah. I mean, the COVID numbers are going down. We were just looking at it this morning.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like a winner. We will get on to item number 7, new business. Discuss, consider, take action regarding damage at Springs Hill Water Supply Corporation lines caused by third parties.
So, this is David. I'll take this item too. This might be a quick discussion. We had hoped to have a little bit more robust conversation about it tonight, but we are still working to get the second letter off to Quest. And at this point, you know, we were thinking, depending on the reaction we were going to get, that maybe we would need to escalate or give you an update that things are being addressed. And so I think we need to push this to the August meeting, and we can give you a better update, and we'll know more then.
Okay. That sounds like a good deal. We will push that to the August meeting.
David, this is Fred. I got a quick question.
Sure.
I guess maybe for kind of a combination of you and Willie. I guess first for Willie, does Quest predominantly work for private developers, or do they also do work for public utilities as well?
I want to say predominantly for developers. They're doing a lot of for developers, and who took over AT&T? Basically commercial and developers is what they do it for. I haven't seen them do anything for homeowners or anything like that privately.
My reason for my question, David, is that, you know, at some point these guys just stonewall us and say, the heck with them, we're not going to mess with these little guys and not going to pay them. Obviously, we end up in some kind of litigation. It costs us money, and probably they're used to it, but they're cutting people's water lines and don't care. If they don't work for public entities, that the good public entities will look at the references of utilities before they hire them. Even Seguin has started checking references on the contractors. I guess, at what point does litigation show up on a contractor's, for a better word, Better Business Bureau references, or in the case of somebody like Quest that's working for commercial and developers, do they ever care whether they get sued or not?
You know, I don't represent, as a matter of my practice, those types of entities, so I can't tell you exactly how they might. I don't have any experience in telling you how they feel, but I know that, and maybe I'm probably telling you something you already know from your experience, but, you know, a lot of the times when there are public entities out there issuing RFPs, you know, part of the responses or the questions asked in those RFPs is, you know, how much litigation have you been involved in the last 5 years, and, you know, what's your track record in projects and damages? And, you know, this is something that if we have to escalate and file a lawsuit against these folks or, you know, anyone that breaks our lines and blows us off, you know, you would think that it would show up on their responses. So, and, you know, and they're not to potential jobs, and you would think that they don't want to have these on their records.
Yeah, somebody like AT&T probably doesn't care. They're just looking for the cheapest price. But I don't know. We got obviously got an issue and a problem here. We got to try to figure out the cheapest way to get paid when these guys are ripping us up. Because I agree with Willie. It's only going to get worse. Now, I guess an ancillary question, Willie, is all our lines are in the system where if they call that 811 number or that hotline number, our lines are in there, right?
Yes, sir. 811 is called, and then they contact us, and text goes out and marks these lines.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, Willie, are they saying it wasn't marked?
It was marked, and we got pictures of it being, I think, 18 inches or 24 inches further away, inside our marks. So they were inside our marks. So it was definitely their fault.
Okay, so do we allow, does he mandate that they go to hand digging when they get within 2 feet of the mark?
We can tell them whatever we want to do, and they can laugh at us or do what we say. They really have, there's really no authority for, you know, the city won't make them do anything. They're there to do what these laborers are there to do what they are told to do, and that's basically it.
But in further protection of our lines, why can't we mandate that once they're within 2 feet of that mark that's set out by tech, that they have to start hand digging? Instead of mechanically digging, then it takes some of that risk. It eliminates some of it away.
I could see us doing that for private easements, but being out in the right-of-way, I don't know how far our authority goes with mandating that type of stuff. We can look into it and see what we can come up with.
Okay. I got one other question. On the invoice, and this might be I hope you know the answer, but it might be a question for Carol. On the Avery Park strike, it says there was a 1.6 million gallon water loss, but as opposed to the other invoice, we don't bill them for that water loss on the Avery Park strike.
No.
Why is that?
Most of these, if we have a huge water loss, we usually either will not charge them because, but the water loss included on there, you're looking at $80,000 to $100,000 bill, and they're not going to pay. If they're not paying $40,000, they're not going to pay $100,000, $110,000 water loss. That's chemicals. That's, you know, at the rates that would have to pay. There's no way we wouldn't even. They'd laugh and throw in the trash.
Well, I guess that's something they need to know, that we didn't charge it for the water when David talks to them.
Very true. You are correct.
Perhaps it's a carrot for them to hurry up and pay, as opposed to, you know, if we went to litigation, we would want to get
everything,
all of our damages addressed.
That's exactly my point, David.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, good point. That might not be a bad thing to put in a letter. If we send them another letter, okay, we're calculating our water usage. I mean, our water loss, and if we can get this taken care of, we will waive that or something.
It's a good idea.
Appreciate the direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Unless y'all have another question, that's all we have to present on.
Let me add one more thing. There is a piece of equipment out there that is a handheld piece of equipment that can measure depth on water lines. I haven't really gotten too far into looking to see what it really actually does, but I think I'm going to have somebody come out and do a little demonstration for us. Maybe we can do something where we can get these lines, you know, exactly located and possibly potholed and show these guys before they hit us, because there's some lines out there that we're going to want to pothole and make sure that they don't hit a 16, they don't hit a they don't hit a 12 or something like that. And that's where it gets, you know, costly. So that'll be brought up at another time when we do the new budget.
But to be clear, this is something that we will be doing out of cooperation and trying to help them. It's not our obligation to do anything like that.
Yes.
Right.
Excuse me, I lost the call, so you may have already answered this question. But David or Willie, have we not heard anything from either one of those entities that we sent that letter to when we had the June 22nd date in there? Has there been any communication at all?
We have heard nothing from Quest and from the outdoor products folks. They have stated that they don't feel it was them. And so we're trying to collect a little bit more information on that before we have a recommendation on the path forward.
Because okay, thank you.
If they continue, at some point we're going to need to go into executive session on this, but I think we can generally say that if we are getting blown off and they don't feel they're responsible, but we have strong proof that they are the ones responsible, then the next step would be a bit more of an aggressive letter threatening litigation.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Is that all that we have on the new business? Anybody else have any questions or comments on that? Well, I guess we will move to item number 8, engineering report for NMAS. I don't know that we have one of those calls on our call, do we?
I don't think so. I don't think Brady dialed in. I've been meaning to pound them on that, but I can't hear. I just talked quickly on the NBU. We did meet with NBU. They're still interested in doing what we need to do. I think the amount came out to like 1.8 to do sharing costs for a pipeline to 46 and a booster station, a ground storage tank. Next step is to get with the city of Seguin to make sure we know where their lines are at and make sure we can get that hydraulically fit in with our system so we know what size pumps that we would need. So that's still moving forward. I'd like to get this done sometime pretty quick, only because we've experienced some a couple of weeks of low water pressure in the northern part of our system because of Canyon Regional's pipeline bursting over there on the river. We can get into that a little bit later. So we're still working on that. The interconnection for SSOGC, that is still being worked on. And then the 78 relocation, that's going to take a little bit longer. That's added on here. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. But that's that. He didn't add the Rudolph Road 5 lanes that are coming in off 46. That the city is going to give us right away so that we can move our pipelines out of right away and into their right away, and that's going to come at our cost. It's not nobody's going to reimburse Springs Hill for moving these lines. So we're looking into that to make sure to see how much line we're going to have to move. And there's a developer that's coming through there. We may be able to utilize that developer and tap off of him and not be too much of a hassle, but we'll see. Because right now we're under the pavement at Berridge on the south side of Rudolph Road. They're willing to let us go on the north side of Rudolph Road in that field. And like I said, give us some city right away. So hopefully that works out. That's the engineering report.
Okay. Thank you, Engineer Willie. We'll move to the General Manager's report.
This is Fred. One thing on this NBU deal, I really shouldn't be getting involved in that. Never mind. Just forget that.
Okay. General Manager report, I have my memo listed. We still have developers coming in. We have a couple new developers coming in. Mesa Wells, I had mentioned that we had a well number two go out. We had to pull it, worked it, and it's running decent right now. There's no issues. Well, number three had electrical issues. We had to get that repaired. We did send out a draft on the water resource plan to y'all. Hopefully next month, we're, you know, as soon as we can, we'd like to see if we can get this funnel. Canyon Regional line break, their line broke across the river to 46, that supplies the standpipe where we get our water from on the northern portion of our system. We had to strategically turn valves and open valves to be able to isolate half of the Barbarossa to the west and to the east. To the east of Barbarossa and to 123, we're using City Seguin water that's coming up Geronimo. So Geronimo, out in that area is getting Seguin water, all Seguin water. And then to the east is Canyon Regional water right now. But at the time when it was broken, we were pushing water from Hickory Forest through our system with Gamecock and our treatment plant underneath the river to 46. That's when we started having low pressure problems. Now, the low pressure problems were probably about 40 to 45 pounds. That's just the difference in these people. They're noticing the difference. It's not actually low below the 35 pounds that TCQ requires. So we were making it. We made it fine for, I think, a week or so. Currently, I think they're fusing the pipe to have it all repaired and pull back underneath the river. I believe they're putting a new pipeline underneath the river. Correct me if I'm wrong, Humberto.
Willie, when is this going to be fixed for real? Getting the thing repaired correctly?
I don't have an answer on that one. They update me as much as they can, but I haven't had an update. I did drive out there and see that they had probably, 200 feet of HDPE fused together. They will let me know whenever they do this, because I don't have to cut off CRWA and start using water for Hickory Forest. So hopefully I get a heads up.
And how long do they think you'll be back in that kind of an operating mode? For how long?
So back to normal?
No, how, once they start making the connections with the new line,
mm-hmm.
How long will you be forced to run water all the way from the south part of our system to the north part of our system?
My guess would be a week. I don't see how they could get it done that fast. But I'll check and I'll let you know how soon they'll be able to complete it or how long it's going to take them.
I probably didn't understand. You said that the break that caused all this was over by the standpipe, but they're pulling polyethylene pipe all the way underneath the river?
No, sir. It's actually on the bank of the river.
That's where the break was?
That's where the break was, on the bank of the river. I guess as it's exiting the water on the bank of the river there.
What kind of pipe was it that broke?
I believe HDPE.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. I think y'all saw where I wrote on item 15, Doug Foster. He's in around Seguin. He's working with developers right now, so he's calling me. Any second he has a chance to ask about development going on the northern part of the system. I thought I'd throw that in there for y'all. Item 16, we're having to make some changes to some of our mechanical valves on these standpipes and on elevated storage tanks so that we can kind of like right now, CRWA sends water to Geronimo elevated storage tank. That it's linked to that tank to send water to. Since I have it diverted and I have CCG feeding Geronimo tank, I need CRWA standpipe to send water to CMC. So we're working on putting things together so that we're able to adjust those during situations like this where we have to make these big changes in our system. What we need to get is the clay valves at Geronimo and Barcus and Mesquite Pass reworked. They haven't been reworked probably since I started here. So that's all going to be in the budget to get completed here in the next year. Except I think Barcus, we're going to go ahead and do that one before next year, because that's a critical valve that we'll need. If we get all these things in place with HOA switches, we'll be able to better handle what's happening when we have these emergencies. Scale work is also involved with all this. Any questions? I'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, well, this is Fred. I've got one.
Yes, sir.
Just a question. That subdivision on 46 between Vogel School and the river on top of the hill there that stopped and started again, and then they started again here recently, and it was obviously a Mickey Mouse operation. It looks like they stopped again. Do you know anything about whether they're going to ever finish that, or do you know anything about it?
Yes, they're moving forward. They're tapping tomorrow at 11:45, the 16-inch by the treatment plant to bring water into the subdivision.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is David. Do we want to talk about the Swenson Heights issue here? Just to get some general direction from the board?
Yes, please. Go ahead, David.
Okay. So, one of the many things that Willie's working on is, the Swenson Heights development and their phasing of how they are going to connect new LUEs on a phase-by-phase basis. I think it's about 800 LUEs in all. And they are... As you may remember from the non-standard service agreement that we entered into with them, they agreed to build the internals within their subdivision and then convey them to Springs Hill, as well as some additional water lines outside of the subdivision, and they're going to convey those to Springs Hill. And so, of course, we're not reserving any water capacity for them for LUEs that they haven't paid reservation fees for. But a question has arisen from the developer as saying, okay, if we're going to build, you told us that to bring water to the subdivision, Springs Hill is going to need to put in place an 8-inch line. And they go ahead and put in the 8-inch line. They want to make sure that even though it might take them a number of years to use the full capacity in that 8-inch line to serve the subdivision, they want to make sure that at least we're reserving the capacity in the water line that they built and conveyed to Springs Hill at no cost. And they'd like to memorialize that point. And the way to do that would be to amend the non-standard service agreement. And I guess we're just looking for direction from the board as to whether that's something that is, that seems to be a reasonable request. It makes sense that if they're paying for the line and we're only building the line because they need it, then that's a pretty logical argument to say that they should have the first crack at that capacity. And they want to put a term of years on it too. They would say, okay, if we don't build the full subdivision within X amount of years, well then Springs Hill doesn't need to reserve the capacity in the line. Even though they bought and paid for it and gave it to us for free. And we just, I think Willie and I were talking about this and Maris, and we wanted to make sure, and Buck Benson on behalf of the developer. And we just wanted to run this by you and make sure that this is something that is acceptable to y'all. And if so, we'll bring back an amendment and have an agenda item on in August.
So what size line would have been needed for them to get just the initial reserved unit.
Really, I'll be
initial reserve units was 250 LUEs. They were able to tie into the 8-inch existing line there, but they want to add 58 more LUEs. So anything over that 250 was going to require a 12-inch main all the way down to the location for fire protection. So they want to add those 58 LUEs, so they're going to have to put the 12-inch.
Word, and the ultimate is 800?
Yes. Yes, sir.
It, we want to clarify to everyone that we're talking about the portion. Well, we felt that, I guess our engineers, their feasibility report said, you know, they needed this, was it an 8-inch line? Is that what you're saying, Willie? Or was it 12?
12.
Okay. They needed a 12-inch line for us to be able to meet their needs for the subdivision. And I don't think they're going to oversize it. But if they had oversized it, just as a matter of policy, we wouldn't be reserving any of the oversized capacity to them. It's only the portion of capacity that is allocable to their subdivision. Because if we oversize, then we pay for the oversize, and it's our capacity. But what they're talking about is their capacity.
You're saying I hear a number of 58 new units, but the 12 inch is needed for the 800.
For full build out, yes.
Yes, full build out. Anything over the 250 LUEs, a 12 inch is needed for fire protection. So adding these 58 is going to be over the 250, so they need that 12 inch in order for them to keep growing and for full build out.
Okay, the 58 triggered the 12 inch.
Yes.
Even though there's still another 500 units to be developed.
Yes, sir. And so the concern is right now, like as David mentioned, you know, they put that line in and they're not going to do the 800 units, probably going to be another 5 or 6 years, but they don't want us to give away their capacity in this 12-inch line that they built and they paid for. So we need to come to some kind of terms to where we do hold that, allocate that for them only until they're ready to do full build out. You know.
Is there anybody that could come in along that 12 inch that would need that capacity that you see coming in before that 5 years is up?
There's probably 4 or 5 subdivisions right now. I think Lily passed subdivision right now by Three Oaks. No, is it Three Oaks? It's that bar that closes down there. They're boring next week underneath 46 to their subdivision. They're on 12-inch line to their subdivision. This 12-inch line will go along Cordova Road parallel all the way to 123, and I have probably 5 or 6 subdivisions right now working.
So why would we not build more than a 12-inch at our expense, increase, reserve the capacity for them in the 12-inch, build more than 12-inch at our expense to, and then charge that against these others?
We could upsize it, and then I'll have to look and see what that's going to cost us.
It sounds like we either do it now or do it later, right?
Yes, sir.
What? Could you repeat the developer's name?
I don't want to see us putting a damn 12-inch line in there, and 6 months from now, you know, we need an 18 or a 20. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
I'm not opposed to reserving some capacity for them for a few years or paying them back for any capacity of theirs that we use. That's another way to do it. But I'm more concerned about the infrastructure. I don't want to be laying a bunch of lines parallel to each other. You know, if you think this is going to happen and it's realistic, let's go more than the 12 and charge these other folks for that delta, that difference.
Yeah, okay, we can do that. Only right now there's an 8-inch and a 4-inch in that ditch line that runs parallel Cordova Road. Everybody is being satisfied off the 8-inch right now. It's just this subdivision that's so far down all the way to 123 was going to require this 12-inch. But we can certainly raise that to 16 and have a 16 in there and eliminate the four.
Have those other entities down, like downstream, so to speak, have they come and requested service from us yet?
Yes. The four subdivisions right now are already had feasibility studies completed, and they're coming off the 8-inch that's already currently there that is tied into the 16 on 46. And they're right, not even halfway, is they're a quarter down the road from Cordova on from 46. This particular subdivision goes 3,000, 4,000 feet.
Oh, because what I was thinking is if there's other entities that need to come in, and they'll need the additional capacity that necessitates the oversizing, maybe we can get them to cost share and pay for it now.
There is another subdivision that goes all the way down the Huber Road that they were going to talk to on cost share, but that developer doesn't want to participate in that kind of stuff.
Could you repeat the name of the developer we're talking about?
I'm sorry.
Are we talking about what's the name of the developer? Is it, did you say it's Swenson Heights or is that a different one?
Swenson Heights.
That's the one we're talking about right now?
Yes, yes. It's going to do the 12 inch.
Okay. Well, in your notes, it says you've been approved to bore a 16-inch main. So that's different?
Hold on. Let me look at my notes.
Number five?
But it might be a 16-inch casing.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a tap to the 16-inch main that's there. Sorry.
So is there still a 12-inch line being discussed, or is it 16?
The 12-inch is a go, but I can let them know that we're going to upsize it to 16, and then I'll get the costs situated tomorrow, and then be able to pay. We'll pay the difference.
Well, I'm just one person, Willie. I'm not telling you that's what, I'm just asking these questions. This is the kind of stuff that M&S ought to be helping you with. This shouldn't be the board shouldn't be trying to figure this shit out. M&S should be looking at this and thinking about, you got an 8-inch laying next to a 4-inch and now we're going to put a 16-inch. How old is the 4-inch?
4-inch is probably older than I am.
I mean, it's essentially worthless then. Right? I mean, not, I don't mean that because of your age, but because, I'm just talking, and I guess I'm getting a little bit frustrated with them that they're not thinking ahead of this kind of stuff, so that we're not out there and it doesn't look like a crystal clear spaghetti bowl kind of thing when we're done.
And I agree with you 100%. Originally, we did talk about doing 16-inch. David Klein mentioned it earlier that Buck had mentioned us upsizing to 16. And we were going to do 16, but then we started looking at our budget, the money that we were spending. I didn't go forward and looking to see what the difference in cost was going to be, but I can definitely do that, and we'll see what we have so that we can upsize this pipeline. It's what I wanted to do at the very beginning, but we've done so much work on tanks and controls and everything else out in the system, I just saw it being a huge number. But I'll definitely get that number tomorrow, and we'll start looking at if everybody else.
Yeah, again, I'm just asking a question, but what we should be paying is only the incremental difference.
Yes, sir.
It shouldn't be on a proportionate basis or a percentage basis, you know, because the digging the trench and backfilling the trench and all of that, it's going to be exactly the same. The only thing we should be paying for is the difference between a 12-inch pipe and a 16-inch pipe. They ought to be eating everything else.
Yes,
otherwise,
sir.
You know. So, okay. Sorry, Bubba.
That's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Like I said, we originally talked about this probably last year or middle of last year. It's been so long since Swenson Heights came in. And we did talk about it. And like I said, David Klein just mentioned to me earlier, and I was like, well, we're going to have to look and see what we have in the budget to be able to get this done. But I'm sure we have funds available. So I'll look into it and And I agree with you. That 16 and 8 inch is going to take up most of the disc. We'll have to get rid of the 4 inch. But like I said, the feasibility study did show the 8 inch being supportive for all those subdivisions there. This subdivision was the only one that was going to require 12 inch because of the distance that it was in, that, you know, distance that it's from 46. So, yes, sir, I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
Well, this is Bernie. One of the points, I agree with Fred and you on upsizing this to take care of future development so we don't have to be doing this 5 years down the road. But one thing that I'm a little concerned about or confused, maybe, is that it sounds like Swinson Heights wants to have a reservation of a certain number of LUEs without paying a reservation fee. Is that correct?
And that's the predicament we're in. If they're putting this 12 inch where this 12 inch and they're paying for the whole thing, then it's kind of like a reservation, but not for lots, but for pipeline.
Yeah, this is David. I can add a little more context to it. You know, we don't, if someone developer like Swinson comes in and says, okay, we need 800 LUEs of service, but we don't want it all at once. We're going to need it over 5 years, but we only want to pay to reserve water service from Springs Hill for 250 LUEs in day one, and we'll come back to you when we're ready to reserve the remaining 550 LUEs. Well, you know, if they don't come back for 5 to 10 years, and in the meantime, you know, we run out of water, well, then we have no obligation to provide to deliver water to them. And if they don't build the infrastructure they need for us to provide to deliver water to them, well, then that's also that was at their risk. But if they're actually investing their own money to build infrastructure for us and to give it to us for free, then I think that's a different situation. And it makes sense that we would reserve capacity for them in the line that they can make. At least for a number of years.
I'm a little confused about, you know, they're going to give it to us for free. We're going to require them to turn, I mean, let's just say that they put in the minimum, they put in 8-inch line. You know, that's on their dime, and we're going to require that they give that to us for what the development they need now.
Well, they're going to build whatever size line we told them they need to build based upon feasibility analysis that came back from M&S Engineering. If Springs Hill says, okay, we actually want to upsize it because we see into the future that there's going to be 4 or 5 other subdivisions that are going to need capacity, or that in order to get water are going to need to have water delivered through a pipeline down the same route. Well, then we would upsize it, but we would be having those other developers pay for the cost to extend that pipe or to pay for the oversizing.
Yeah, well, I think I understand all this. The question I'm worried about is that we're talking about reserving water rights for somebody that's not going to pay us a reservation fee.
Right, and we're not talking about that tonight. That's not what's on the table. Our non-standard service agreement say that we aren't reserving any water for anybody unless they pay the reservation fee.
And they've already paid.
What we're talking about here is whether or not we'll reserve the capacity in a pipeline that would be used to transport water.
Well, how is that different than reserving water rights?
Well, one is the right to the water, and the other is the vehicle to deliver the water from point A to point B.
Okay, well, I'll be quiet, but I don't follow that argument.
What's the difference between a lawyer and a good lawyer?
Well, that's right, but who knows the judge?
So
Hey, David, let me spin that another way. So they're paying to reserve the capacity in the 12 or 16 inch, if that's what it's going to be. But if they don't pay the reservation fees, then the water's not delivered.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the water reservation fee goes to things like getting the water supply from Canyon Regional in the first place.
So that's your separation of what you're saying we're not talking about tonight.
Correct.
Okay, I got you.
So they've already paid $258,000 or $250,000, and they're wanting to pay another $58,000 to add the 58 LUEs. So they reserved those LUEs already. And that's a quarter or so of the pipeline. I had Brady run the hydraulics on it on a full build out, and it's going to take up 50% of the 12 inch. So we'll have 50% left over.
Well, Bernie, this is Fred. I'm following your argument a little bit, although they are making a financial investment in our system beyond the reservation fee, which I think is what David and Willie are saying. That the alternative would be to not reserve them the additional capacity for those other 500 units. But if we use some of that difference between the 8-inch and the 12-inch for somebody else, we would pay them back for their share of the investment. In other words, you're not holding capacity, but you're paying them for a few pennies for the pipe, the distance from the pipe. I don't know. It's 6 to 1, half a dozen the other in some respects. It's the same issue that every water utility, every conscientious water utility in the state's dealing with, how to fairly work with all these damn developers that are running all over us, and not overextend yourself financially, but extend yourself physically. There's no easy answers.
I like how you described it, Fred, where we wouldn't necessarily reserve or take payment from them, but if we did utilize more than what we should have in that pipeline, we would pay them back. I don't know how we'd be able to.
But in that scenario, then, are they getting their water when they ultimately need that additional water?
May not. Ronnie,
may
not for part of that other 500, they may be out in the cold or have to, you know, oversize or something. But that would, you know, if we laid it out for them that way, that'd be the developer's decision. Well, hell, let's pony up now.
Yeah.
Or roll the dice.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah, if they want to sit around for 5 years and there's other developments coming in out there, that difference between the 8 and the 12 or the 8 and the 16 can be gone in a hurry.
My guess is each one of those developers will be calling Willie on a regular basis trying to figure out how much capacity we have left, how much of a water supply we have left, and what we're doing.
Yeah, and Doug Foster's one of them already.
Well, I hope not. I hope they all go okay.
Well, I think it's going to be largely dependent on the verbiage that David's going to craft for this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fred, in your scenario, though, there is also the risk with the other developers coming in nearby that may need that capacity. Those other developers beat them to the punch and get built out. They don't, then they may never fully develop.
Yeah. They beat them to the punch. That money will go back to the developer that built it originally, and they'll have to go get property easements to run a pipeline to their new developments. There's going to be no more right of way.
Yeah, I don't like us putting stuff in the public any more than we have to anyway.
Yep.
I think we have some of the easements along that Cordova, where there is some that's going to be in the right of way. It's just that's originally where it was put, the 8-inch.
Okay. So I guess to bring all the, unless there's any additional questions, of course we're happy to answer them. But it sounds like, you know, direction we're getting is yeah, go ahead, start working on an amendment to the non-standard service agreement for Swenson to address this issue and bring it back to the board in August.
As an action item in August?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
I think it could be, excuse me, can I ask a question real quick?
Yes, yes.
Can we, I would really like to see some engineering on the oversize of that pipe, what is really based on what these developers along Cordova and as well as Swenson Heights has said, if what the difference in the cost of going from a 12 to a 16, if that would be our prorated portion of that pipe, because even if they, some of these developers don't, the way it's growing around here, I feel like it's not a bad investment, but I think we need to know based on engineering what our ultimate would be and if we can, what our cost would be to go to that 16-inch if we would use it. Before we make that decision in August, I think we would need to know that. Is that possible, Willie, to get them to look at that, what Fred was saying?
Yes, ma'am. I had them look at the 12-inch, and so far what Brady's telling me is there's 50% capacity would be left for us for other development if they were a full build at 800. I don't have that study for the 16-inch, but I can get them to run the pipeline.
Okay. If that 12-inch is 50% capacity is left, but we all would retire the 4 and the 6-inch, would that then take that 12-inch complete?
The 4 and the 8-inch would still continue to be in use. So we'll have a parallel 16 and 8.
Okay.
I'm confused. I got to run. I don't want to belabor this, but I thought that to get the 800 units, they needed the full 12 and there would be nothing left for us.
No, sir. The 8-inch that they're tied onto is for 250 units. They're going above that, so they're required to get 12-inch for fire protection to keep the 1,000 GPM at your 20 PSI that the city requires. When they fully build out with 800 homes, they're going to use 50% of the 12-inch pipeline being put in. The whole reason the 12-inch is being put in is for fire protection.
So that other half is available for fire protection.
Yes. Now, when we start adding more developers to it, to that 50%, I have to get with Brady to see what the fire protection drops down to, or if it does go down, how that works hydraulically.
Well, you're going to have that for those other developments, so you're still needing more than the 12, sounds like, ultimately.
It does sound like that to me. It sounds like the 16 makes more sense, and all we would be paying is the difference between the cost of the 12-inch pipe that they were going to put in and the 16-inch pipe. Is that right? I mean, they're already putting in the labor to put the pipe in.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think we need to know what that is
right.
At the next meeting if we make that decision.
Okay. We'll have that for you. I've already sent out an email to get those prices on the differences. I'm sorry.
I think Brady needs to attend the next meeting also.
Yes. That'd
be a good point. Okay, if that's all the questions and comments we have on that, we will move to item number C. Steve Ramsey, you got a CRWA report?
Yeah, I have a report. At the last meeting, there were a number of things pretty routine that were considered. One of the things that they had brought to the meeting was the retirement plan. And there was some discussion about what was approved last year and how it would be implemented into this year's budget, you know, as the second year. And as the questions were coming up, they had suggested that it go before their, I guess, budget committee, and the budget committee would consider the impacts of the overall budget. And so the meeting kind of ended on that note, and then there was some information shared with Willie, with me, with regards to the draft budget. And the draft budget, there was a couple of things that I was kind of curious about. You know, what is the bottom line with regards to Springs Hill and our contracts and how much we would pay for our water next year? And also, you know, how does the retirement plan fit into that? Is it consistent with the plan that was presented last year? And I believe Willie had forwarded some questions on to David Davenport, and David had responded and with regards to the plans for next year. And Willie, I know you had done a little research with regards to what we pay for water, what the budget was looking like with regards to Springs Hill next year. You may want to kind of give a little bit of information on that, because it's my understanding the budget will come to the Canyon Regional Board at the next meeting in August, and that's when they would go forward with the overall budget. Willie, you have anything to add to that?
No, sir. He's right on point. They will take that to the August meeting. I just want to clear up on the GBRA regional raw water delivery system rate. The increase of 21% is for the transfer of water to Hayes Caldwell Treatment Plant. That's not going to be added on to the 151-acre fee that GBRA charges us already.
So, Willie, is there any additional research that you need to do or communication with David to make you feel comfortable that what we're going to be paying for our water next year is going to be essentially the same?
Yes. After talking to him or through email, it's going to be essentially the same. Yes, sir.
I just thought that was important for the board to understand that the budgeting for Canyon Regional is going on right now, that we are trying to ask the questions up front so that as we are asked to approve the budget, we feel comfortable with what the cost for water will be to Springs Hill.
Yes, sir, I agree.
Steve, this is David. Just to be clear, are they going to be, they're looking for approval of the budget at the September board meeting or at the August board meeting?
I had thought David had indicated that it would go to the August board meeting, and I get it would be approved if there are no major issues, and then they would have to take it from there if there were issues and push it into September. I don't know if they can push it into September.
Their fiscal year, I think, is October 1 to September 30, right?
Willie, I'm not sure exactly. Maybe Umberto could answer that.
You're correct. That's the correct October 1st. It's a fiscal year when it begins.
September.
October 1st. So the idea is to try to get the budget approved at this next board meeting. If there's any issues like Mr. Ramsey had alluded to, but then we can have the September meeting to act on them, make any corrections, so we can meet our deadline by October 1st.
That's really all I had to report. With some of the activities going on with Canyon Regional.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Anybody have any questions for Steve about the Canyon Regional report? Okay, I guess we'll move to item number 9. Does anyone have a reason to go into executive session?
Hey, Bubba, can I ask a couple of questions before we get too far away from Willie's report? I know y'all are going to kick me. I'm glad I'm not in the same room, because y'all probably go, oh, my gosh. But we're going back to the Swenson Heights thing. It said in your report, Willie, that they were approved to bore under 46 with a 16-inch line. Does that approval come from the highway department?
Yes, highway department.
Okay. Are they going to start that bore before we can decide whether they're going to want, we want to have a 16-inch line? Because that, if that 16-inch line was just for the casing, like Fred said, then are we, is that a problem?
No, the bore that's going to be done is for Libby Springs, not for Swenson Heights.
Your report said Swenson Heights.
Yes, I wrote. That was my fault.
Okay, so the bore under 46 is not for Swenson Heights.
No, it's for Lily. My apologies.
Okay, so that would not have anything to do with this 16-inch line that we're possibly talking about for Swenson Heights, then.
No, this
is
one
that right?
Directly across. This one has no linear footage to extend down to any certain
okay.
location. It's going to stop right there
all right.
on 46 in the subdivision.
Okay. And then the second question I had was, Kathy's email said that she was going to mail us a copy of the water resources report.
Mm-hmm.
And it also said it was going to be attached in your report. But I haven't, has it been sent out?
It has been mailed. It was mailed on Thursday of last week.
This is Steve.
So,
I got my report just for information. This is Steve.
Yeah, I got
okay.
mine.
I have not gotten it.
Yep.
I didn't either.
Okay, well, we'll give it another day or so, and then we'll resend it out. If you haven't received anything, just let us know.
Well, if I don't get it in 2 days, I'll call and get you. I'll come by and pick up a copy. You don't need to mail it again. But if it should have been here by now, I don't know how many days have gone by, but if I haven't received it by Friday, I'll call you and ask and tell you to get me, if you can get me a hard copy, I'll come by and pick it up.
Okay.
Okay, that was off. I'm sorry, but I should have mentioned that before.
Oh, no. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, I don't see a reason to go into executive session. Does anyone have any reason for that?
No, sir.
Okay. I guess we will move to item number 10, adjournment. Shot 652. Do we need a motion for that? Or we...
This is Steve. I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Steve and a second from everybody else to adjourn the meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 And opposed? We have none. Thank you. Good meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good to hear everyone's voice.